Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 7, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to that one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And you can, if you're one of the 15% of the people who do not use the internet, you can always call those numbers for any kind of questions about radio and so on and so forth. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. All right, prayer, and then tonight's guest, which is one of my favorites. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray the radio goes tonight according to your will and not my will, and I pray that you give everyone ears and we share the truth. Well, amen and amen. Tonight's guest, Ben is an investigative talk show host and also works with Wallace Jubat. You can find his work at benberrick.com. It's benberrick.com. Anyway, and he is the author of two books so far. One is Unsung Davids and Islamist Phobia, which he co-wrote with Wallen Schubach. I strongly suggest you get Unsung David, especially when this year when Hillary's thinking about running. But anyway, so let's bring on Ben and we'll talk to him and see what he's talking about tonight. You were there with us, Ben.
Pastor Dan, if you go to benberrick.com, it's dead.
It's what?
It doesn't work.
It doesn't? Why not?
No, I don't know. I didn't renew it.
You didn't renew it? So where am I supposed to tell people for you to go?
WBDaily.com.
WBDaily.com.
Yeah, and Shubat.com. I contribute there pretty frequently. Pretty much everything.
Okay. Well, what's WB stand for?
It stands for World Beat. The world is our beat.
Worldbeat.com. Okay, well, that's cool.
Oh, no, it's WBDaily.com.
Yeah, WBDaily.com, right. And
right.
Of course, Shubat.com, of course. But you need,
right.
I like the WB Daily. I've used that and put it on a link with some of the programs that you did, so it's not
good.
Completely new to me. Anyway.
Okay, good.
But,
well, you know.
So, anyway, so beyond that, what is new with you this evening?
Well, I just got done. You had corresponded with me yesterday, I believe, about the subject matter, and I just got done with a new article on that subject matter regarding Mike Rogers, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
Oh, really?
That's
dynamite. We ought to start with that, but let's make sure that we talk about this Pollywood thing again.
Yeah,
we talked about Pollywood a couple years ago, didn't we?
Yeah, it's actually one of the. I feel like this. We spent the whole segment plugging stuff, but Pallywood is a chapter in Unsung David, and all of the amazing work that Richard Landis, who is, you know, the actual Unsung David in that story, he's the guy who uncovered Pallywood. And it's a phenomenon, a way of life in Gaza and the Palestinians. Yeah. And he really put a name to it. And he it's interesting how he came across that, which is basically Palestinians staging scenes and passing them off as news. Richard Landis, who is a Boston University professor, I want to say this is probably back in 2002 or 2003. He was introduced to a left-wing journalist at France 2, and I guess that the left-wing journalist didn't, based on who introduced him, you know, because I forget who it was. It was a ambassador of some sort or some diplomat that introduced Landis, this professor, to him. So he. Mm-hmm. Coupled those things and assumed that he could trust that Landis would toe the liberal line. But what happened was he was exposed to all of the raw footage of Pallywood, which showed all these staged scenes. And in the years that have unfolded since, Richard Landis has really been proven to be a pioneer in this discovery.
Yeah, Pallywood is simply amazing, especially for people that have no idea what we're talking about. And it's quite a catchphrase, too. So I guess do you want to go ahead and go into that and then go into the other one? I don't care, whatever you want to do.
Well, yeah, Pallywood is really it's really endemic. It's part of the culture over there, and it's one of the reasons why Hamas is able to win so many PR battles, some propaganda battles, because, you know, just recently in this latest fighting between Israel and Hamas, it was discovered that you never see Hamas soldiers killed. You know, it's always people in civilian clothes, and it was discovered that one of these derelicts, for lack of a better term, Palestinians took a young child. And I don't know if she was living or dead, but laid her down next to soldiers, Hamas operatives that were killed by Israeli strikes, and then they allowed the filming to continue. And that is the essence of Pallywood. It happens every time there's a conflict. I remember a year or two ago there was I think it was probably 2012 when there was another flare-up over there with Hamas and Israel, and CNN was showing raw footage of this guy being carried away on a stretcher, and then a short time later he's up walking around. I mean, it's what they do. This is how they operate. And for some reason, it's been so difficult for the truth to break through on this. But it's a maddening reality that they live in fantasy.
Well, let me say this. You know, if we had an honest, you know, they couldn't do it if we had an honest media, they're reporting it because, right. You know, like you say, they will hold it a minute, you know, and go lay the child down. Okay, you can go on and film. You know, I mean, come on. The liberal left is just so, I don't even know what to say about them anymore.
Yeah, no, it's blatant, it's bald-faced, it's undeniable, and you know, when you see, the Geraldo Rivera's of the world, I love how he defends Hamas and then points to a tattoo of the Jewish star on his hand as justification for his position that he defends Israel. You know, you've got Hamas using human shields and Geraldo using a human hand shield to defend his position. In defending Hamas, you know, every time he was accused, I saw that there was an exchange between him and a Fox News host.
Right.
I think it was Andrew Pinteros, and whenever she said something that was hinting at him being pro-Hamas, he'd lift up his hand and point to his tattoo, as if that's going to make a difference. You know,
right.
It's like, what are you doing? Dude, seriously?
Really?
So, yeah,
let me
and the liberal
say, I
media
talk
is
a
just,
second. He makes me ill. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I cannot stay. I never could, you know, I remember, how did he ever get to where he's at? I mean, the last thing he was doing is always looking for things that weren't there. Like, you know, who was it?
Al Capone's vault. Yeah. I was going to say, it certainly wasn't that.
Yeah, tore through the wall, there was nothing there. Well, that's kind of like him.
Don't forget, there was a bottle there. He didn't find a bottle.
Okay, well, it's kind of like with him, you know, you look behind the exterior, there's nothing there. And that's what I have to say about him. There's just nothing there. He really makes me ill, but he is commonplace, trying to disguise himself as even somebody tried to say the other day that he was Republican or whatever, trying to disguise himself as something else, but this guy is just as liberal and anti-Israel as they come.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you can tell because when there's a fight between good and evil, and you know, look, we got ISIS not too far from Hamas. Hamas equals ISIS. ISIS is slaughtering people at in unbelievable, unspeakable ways, and Israel is going out of its way to prevent slaughtering the equivalent of ISIS, and Israel is getting demonized and demagogued by the media, and that's why I say when you have a fight between good and evil, and you attempt to not take a side, you are siding with evil, and that's how you know when the liberal media says, well, you know, they have a right to defend themselves, but this is a question of proportionality and blah blah blah, while all the while ignoring or dismissing the fact that Hamas is putting people in front of its missiles. In fact, we learned this week that the IDF confiscated combat manuals from Hamas in a village, the Shuja, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, the Shuja village, which neighborhood rather, which that was a hot spot of Hamas rockets that were being fired into Israel. Israel warned all of the people there, dropping leaflets, sending out tweets, using social media, Facebook, cell phone, email, whatever, website, trying to get as much coverage as they possibly could to get these people out of these residences that were firing these rockets. When people did decide to try to leave, the mosque made them go back inside. And so Israel found, the IDF found these combat manuals that showed it's smoking gun evidence that Hamas uses these human shields and why they use them and how they utilize the carnage and the collateral damage to their advantage. I mean, they already have a suicide bomb mentality. Why do people not think that they would then use their own civilians in a suicide propaganda mission? Of course they would. But, you know, the liberal media, they call for a ceasefire as soon as possible because they know they're left in an indefensible position, and the longer there isn't a ceasefire, the more indefensible their positions are going to be. And case in point is the discovery of these
tunnels?
Combat manuals. Yeah. And if you just watched the media, it was just like so blatantly obvious. I mean, you had the Israeli who was the ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer. I mean, he was tearing these people up. It was great to see. I wish we had people in this country that were able to do that. I mean, at one point, you have Ayman Mulyadeen. Ayman Mulyadeen is an NBC reporter in Gaza who is basically been feeding the audience complete bald-faced lies about, you know, Hamas doesn't use civilian shields and, you know, doesn't fire rockets from whatever. And you know, he's just totally blatantly lying. But he used to work for Al Jazeera, which is the propaganda arm for the same Muslim Brotherhood under whose umbrella Hamas resides. So you have Eamon Mulyadeen and you had Ron Dermer telling Chuck Todd at NBC, you know, you really should get your, you know, you should issue a retraction, Chuck, you and your reporter Eamon, for, you know, and then he went on to chronicle everything that they said that was verifiably false. And instead of Chuck Todd standing up for his network and for himself and for his reporter, he moved on as if nothing took place. I mean, these people get so, I mean, they don't even know they're having their pants pulled down and they're getting so thoroughly spanked. They don't, they're so dumb they don't even realize that. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I wonder sometimes whether they're really that stupid or they just, you know, so in the boat with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, something's keeping them from seeing reality.
I'll tell you what was shocking to me, though, this week that I noticed. You know who, I think his name, I'm probably not going to pronounce it right, but he's on HBO, and he's that leftist comedian. I think his name is Bill Maher.
Bill Maher.
And he actually got mad at, there was some guy on there that was talking about the same thing, was saying that, you know, Israel was, you know, killing defenseless Palestinians and then they weren't using them for human shields. And Bill Maher is really so extremely left, it's pitiful. But he actually got mad at the guy and told him, said, come on, man. And he admitted, he said, look, they're using them as human shields, they're firing rockets at them and everything else. Even though I don't like Israel, I got to agree. And I about fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe that there was a stroke of honesty out of this guy.
Well, yeah. What's interesting about Maher is that he is one of the rare birds of a true believer in atheism. And so he has been critical of Islam, and I think he comes at it from an atheistic point of view. He's so in the tank for the atheistic view that, you know, the left is not atheist. Their religion is just anything that's not Christian,
right.
Whether it's global warming or Muslim for that matter. I mean, it's amazing to watch how they will defend the Islamic faith at every turn, but they will just go after Christians left and right. So I think part of the explanation for Bill Maher is I think he in his atheistic mentality he has lumped Islam in there as a religion that he is against. It's rare, but he's an outlier. But it is interesting to see that.
Yeah, it surprised me, but I was really glad for it because, you know, he's really a popular guy. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. Israel really does need to support. Let's go with this while we're on the subject of Israel. I really couldn't believe I was at the gym, and I was riding my bike. And, you know, I had my earphones in, you know, and I was trying to get my miles in, and I looked up, and I couldn't, and I'm watching the interview, and this guy says that in the interview, I can't think of the name of the woman that was doing the interview. I think she was filling in, actually, for somebody else. But he took the earpiece out of his ear, so she couldn't tell him to stop talking or contradict him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Explain
it
to people.
Yeah, that was the Megyn Kelly show, and it was Shannon Bream who was guest hosting, and the host was, or the guest rather, was Chris Gunas, and Chris Gunas is the UN World Relief Agency, and I know that's it's UNWRA, and it's an arm of the UN. And it helps. It's supposed to help with hospitals and schools and that kind of thing. So he's their guy in Gaza. And you might remember him last week. There was a video of him breaking down crying on YouTube at the dead Palestinians while getting angry at the Israelis for doing it, when in reality it was Hamas's fault. These people are twisted. Maybe that's why he was crying. He just couldn't rationalize that. But he was on with Shannon Bream, and Brooke Goldstein was opposite him, and they did an interesting deal where they didn't have them on. They had them on at the same time, but not together. In other words, they would interview one without the other one present and then go to the other one and, you know, back and forth, because they wanted to eliminate crosstalk. So they have Brooke Goldstein on there, and she exposes the curriculum and with a video showing Palestinian children talking about, you know, how the Jews are evil and they've done so much evil to them and teaching them to hate the Jews, just totally irrational stuff. And then when they go to Chris Gunas to respond to this, his response was amazing. His response was not that to discredit the video. His response was that the schools in East Jerusalem that Israel runs teaches the same curriculum. Okay, so you're not denying what we just saw. Okay, it's the same old deal where two wrongs don't make a right. Even assuming he's correct, because I don't remember him producing a video.
Right.
He didn't. But I mean, he admitted that the Palestinians were teaching their kids that the Jews were evil and to hate the Jews. But shortly thereafter, he took his earpiece out of his ear. The look on Shannon Bream's face was priceless. I mean, I laughed every time I saw it. He took his earpiece out of here, and his explanation was, I'm going to take this out of my ear because I have sound in it. It's like, dude, there's a reason you have sound in it. It's so you can have a dialogue with the host.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
I
could have swore she said we're going to have to do another segment or something, and she was shocked because, folks, what we're talking about, this is the way for her to communicate with him and say, stop talking, or, you know, that's not right, or ask a different question.
Yeah,
but he took it completely out and laid it down. And, I mean, you know, you probably had half of America fall out of their chairs if they had any sense. I couldn't believe it. I about fell off my bike I was riding. Really? Did I just see that? You know?
Well, and it's interesting, though, that, and another thing is that you don't – I mean, this guy is UNRWA's guy in Gaza. There was a hospital – I can't remember if it was a hospital or a school. I think it was a hospital, but it was an UNRWA hospital, UNRWA or WRA, whatever the heck it is, his agency. And the same day that he broke down crying on YouTube, there was an UNRWA hospital in Gaza that was booby-trapped and exploded, killing three IDF soldiers who were there to uncover the tunnel system that was underneath the hospital. So UNRWA, this clown's organization had a booby-trapped hospital with terrorist tunnels underneath it that resulted in the deaths of three IDF soldiers.
Got to break in. It's time to go to break. Let's see. That's WBDaily.com, WBDaily, or Shubat.com, and we'll be back in 3 minutes with more Ben to talk about a lot of things.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. He will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Why do so many people come to us, just such a little mission church, for help? Well, love is the first answer, and they're treated as family. Second and beyond that, we really have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. And if we have what they need, then we fill that need. If not, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. This is why we are the last hope for so many. When all the other agencies fail and the churches say that we can't do it because of our guidelines, they send people to us because we don't have any guidelines. Anyway, we are the last hope for so many. And, folks, we are all responsible to care one for another, as we are brother keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Ben Barrick. Are you still with me, Ben?
Right here.
Right here, and glad of it. Okay. All right. What was our last word? Was we done with that, or was we still talking about it? We were talking about...
I think we're done with the loony tick.
Okay. That's...
For soonest, yeah.
If no comment. Anyway, yeah, well, this next segment is just as loony. Here we are back talking about Benghazi. How long has it been since Benghazi started? What was that, 2011?
September 11th, 2012.
Oh, 2012. Okay. Well, it doesn't seem like as long, but we're still talking about it. Take us into this segment. Select Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy stabbed in the back by a Republican colleague.
Yeah. This is really unfortunate, but it's not unexpected based on what we have seen to this point. The House Republican chairman for the House Intelligence Committee is a guy named Mike Rogers. Mike Rogers has got a lot of red flags when you start digging into Benghazi. And what happened was he's been one of the people who has not wanted a select committee to be formed. He said that he could find no evidence that there was weapons trafficking out of Benghazi. I mean, that's at this point, that's just utterly laughable. And he said that in the weeks after Hillary Clinton's infamous testimony with Rand Paul. If you remember, he asked her, it was the best part of the hearing, he asked her if there was weapons being shipped out of Benghazi to other countries, to include Turkey and Syria. We now know that anything, it's all academic at this point. That is all but a done deal. I mean, right. there is so much on that if you take the opposing view, you might want to take a pill because it's just not viable. So and he's the head of the intelligence committee, and for him to say that there's no evidence of that is just ridiculous. And he said that even after. I mean, he contradicted. And this is in the piece that I just published. He contradicted the House Speaker, Speaker Boehner, who in a radio interview just a couple of months earlier was asked about Rand Paul's testimony. And Speaker Boehner said, yeah, I've heard, I'm familiar with some of this chatter, but what I know about that is classified and I can't talk about it. So that was essentially a concession that it is going on, because if it isn't going on, he could have said no. And so... When you look at all of the things that Rogers is involved in, he's resigning from Congress this year. Why would he do that? Like, what is the reason for this? I would really like to know. Back in April, when he had the deputy CIA director in front of his committee to testify, there were a lot of questions and inconsistencies and contradictions with his testimony. Mike Rogers the next day was asked, or at least that week, was asked when he was on Fox News if based on those contradictions, if there should be a formation of a select committee. And he basically said, no, I don't think so. It would cost too much money, was one of his reasons. And the other reason that he gave had to do with, his committee can do the job and turn out the report. Well, now we learned late last week that his committee has completed its report, and we have nobody really talking about it other than Democrats on the committee who are hooting and hollering and saying, now the report hasn't been released, so we must temper that a little bit. But you have Democrats on the committee saying that the report found that there was no deliberate wrongdoing on the part of the administration. And basically saying it's a non-controversial conclusions and all of that.
Right.
Well, the top-ranking Democrat, and that includes the top-ranking Democrat on the committee, which is Rogers' counterpart, Rogers is not commenting. He's not saying anything. But who is commenting is the liberal media. You've got the Washington Post. You've got the Media Matters. You've got CNN, Huffington Post. All of these entities are saying that that this report undercuts Trey Gowdy, and it demonstrates that there's no need for a select committee. I don't know all the political games. All I know is what it looks like to me. And what it looks right. like to me is that Mike Rogers has no interest in coming to the defense of Trey Gowdy or the select committee, because Gowdy's already under a tremendous amount of pressure on this. And for him to have his Republican colleague turn out a report that I guess it's got to go through the intelligence community first before it can be released, and that's a whole other can of worms, because the intelligence right. community can determine if it's all classified. So if it's negative towards the intelligence community say classified, can't talk about this. And so that right there is very disturbing that reality exists. But Trey Gowdy is already under a tremendous amount of pressure on this, and for him to look at the House Select Committee on the, or the House Intelligence Committee chairman, who's not saying anything. I mean, you know, at best you would think he would say, well, you know, these Democrats on this committee, they're saying this, but they're not accurate. They're not accurate. This is, you know, there's a lot of damning things, and we're getting nothing from him, which just fuels the fire on the left. But he's retiring, Mike Rogers is, and he's going to go into talk radio. And his counterpart in the Senate, who is Saxby Chambliss, and I say counterpart, he's the Republican, the lead Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee. He is also retiring. And that's curious because as a senator, he has the opportunity to be part of a majority that could be elected in 2014.
And
Rogers has the opportunity to remain on as a majority, part of a majority in the House. So that both of these men would be resigning is very curious. Now, one of the reasons that it may be happening, and there are several, and I think you and I may have spoken about this, but an exhaustive article by Seymour Hersh, who back in April, who is credited with exposing the Mebane massacre and the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, he maintains through his intelligence contact that when the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence released its report in January of this year, that with that report was an annex that had classified information in it, and that annex detailed a program, an operation called the Rat Line, that involved weapons trafficking out of Benghazi to Turkey and then on to Syria, and that David Petraeus ran that operation as a beginning in early 2012. So that would have been almost a year before the Benghazi attacks. And he says that the people who received that annex were the leaders in both houses of Congress and the leaders of the intelligence committees. So that would mean Saxby Chambliss, the Senate head of the Republicans in the Intelligence Committee, and Mike Rogers, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. That would mean they both received that. It would mean they both knew that there were weapons trafficking operations going on. And what is also disturbing and kind of indicting of Rogers is that he has admitted in the past about other issues that covert operations need to get his sign off. And this was, by all accounts, a covert operation. So either he signed off on it, or it went by him, in which case he should be raising Cain over it.
Let me ask you a question, more something that came to my thought, but I don't know if I'll hit it right. Wasn't there somebody recently when he was interviewed, now he had something to do, I'm thinking, with the CIA or something, and they asked him and he said he basically didn't even know that station was there until that night. You know what I'm talking about?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Well, there's somebody that worked within the CIA. They just interviewed him recently, and he was supposed to be, they asked him all about it or whatever, and he said that bluntly that he didn't even know that station was there until the night of Benghazi. And you know, I'll have to, next time we talk, I'll tell you who it is.
Well, if there was a stand down order, that would explain it, help to explain it, because it would have been a very, very secret installation if that's accurate. But the other thing about this is that this weapons trafficking operation, according to Hersh, was being run by David Petraeus, who was the CIA director at the time. You know, and then you go into these other things about Rogers. For example, his wife, Christy Rogers, at the time Mike Rogers started, he became the chairman in early 2011 after the Tea Party wave elections of 2010. His wife was the vice chairman or vice president of the board of a company called Aegis, Aegis Defense Services. It's a British-based defense services company that deals with defense consulting and contracting and things like that. Her company set up shop in February of 2011 in Libya. Now, if you remember 2011, that was the year that that the Obama administration was all about using NATO to remove Gaddafi from Libya. And now we come to find out that, that Christie Rogers, in her capacity with Aegis, was involved in Libya at the time. And, you know, the use of we don't know in what capacity Aegis was involved there, but, I mean, we do know that that there were weapons going all over the place in Libya all throughout 2011. And, you know, people profiteering from that, somebody was profiteering from all of those weapons. And then you remove Gaddafi, and here we are. And interestingly, Mike Rogers was one of only a handful of Republicans that wanted to vote to, I think he did actually vote for the president to use force in Libya in 2011. Now, that would serve to get him a little bit off the hook as far as, you know, if there were covert operations going on in Libya.
Right.
And he would have known about it or should have known about it. And, you know, it's one thing after another when you start peeling back the layer of how this guy is connected to what went down in Libya. It's really, really disturbing. And if, as the Intelligence Committee chairman, he should have known about all of this stuff well before we had Benghazi happen.
Well, it really stinks that these guys would be retiring when they could come into a majority, because, you know, it's going to be a great day for Republicans, because I believe they're going to get the House and they're going to get the Senate. You know, well, they already got the House, but they'll keep it and get the Senate, and then they'll be able to carry through with a lot of things that they wanted to do, you know, with Obama. And you would think that they would want to stay in, you know, in for that. I mean, it's inconceivable that they wouldn't. For talk radio, retire to go to talk radio. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and, you know, what's he going to do when he gets all these Benghazi callers? You know, is he going to answer them?
Well, when you said it and you said talk radio, I my light bulb went off in my head, and I said, I wonder if it's a call in program. I'm thinking about calling in, you know.
Oh, don't worry. It'll be a 5 minute delay, and you know, if you decide to talk about Benghazi, the finger will be on the dump button. And, you know, can you imagine people calling in and say, "Hey, Mike, can you talk to us about what your wife was doing over there?" And, you know,
exactly.
I don't think he thought this one through. I mean, this is getting to be ridiculous. I mean, he in an interview with Megyn Kelly back in November. I mean, they just keep adding up. In November, he was interviewed by Megyn Kelly, and he was asked to confirm or deny if Christopher Stevens had met with his committee in the days before the attack, and he had to admit it. And the way he did it was, you know, he just has a, there's something about his look, Pastor Dan. I think he knows he's not in a good place.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, the question is, you know, Trey Gowdy, here's the thing. Trey Gowdy as the chairman of the Select Committee, my gosh, what's the biggest problem, you know, the biggest complaint about this committee? Well, that it's partisan, that it's a partisan witch hunt. Well, what better way to demonstrate that it is not partisan, that it's completely impartial, than by to have Mike Rogers deposed and grilled about what he knows? He's a Republican. Why not have Trey Gowdy order that Mike Rogers be deposed and send a message out there that not only is this not going to be partisan, but it's going to be aggressively bipartisan. I mean,
right.
That's the way you do it. That's that. And,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
I, And he knows a lot of stuff. This guy knows a lot of stuff.
He knows the whole story, you know.
Yeah.
He's one of the few that knows the story. And, you know, you and like you say, you can tell by his looks, his ears might as well light up red because you can tell how when he's not telling, you know what I mean, when something's going on there. Absolutely. What do you think about Trey? I really like Trey. Do you like him?
I do like Trey Gowdy. He's been recently grilling people, a law professor last week about the IRS emails that called conservatives a-holes. I mean, these people that he grills, they defend the administration so much so that you're left to conclude that they would rather be perceived as complete and total idiots to the world than to be truthful. I mean, it takes a special kind of doofus to want to be perceived as an idiot instead of telling the truth. Because Gowdy, if you were an attorney and a potential juror referred to your client as an obscene body part, would you reject that candidate for your jury? And the guy couldn't answer it. And Gowdy says, well, let me tell you, you're going to starve if you're going to be an attorney in your career. So Gowdy has got that. The question is, I believe there will be so many forces at work and pressure on him. It's going to be very interesting to see how he deals with it. There is the red flag for me early on was the executive director that was appointed to that committee, and I think that individual needs to be watched because of his background. And I really am skeptical, and I think that we need to be skeptical. There's a lot of people that look to Trey Gowdy and say, "Oh man, this is the guy to hitch our wagon to," and he strikes me as the best candidate. But when was the last time we had an investigation, hearings, committee that got to the bottom of anything? I would venture to say maybe Watergate. That's a long time ago. There have been a lot of committees, a lot of scandals, a lot of things happen. So to just blindly trust that this is going to go the way we want it to go and get to the truth, I think would be a mistake. I think it's the old trust but verify, and approach this with skepticism, because I think collective skepticism rather than just a blind faith that it's going to happen the way we want it to.
Let's go with this. Look, what would they do even if they caught somebody? Nobody up there is abiding by the law. It's like, look, they should have fired people in the IRS for all the admissions, and what we do know by now, they should have been fired. The same way with the Veterans Administration. People should have been nailed to the wall. And nobody's been nailed, and for Benghazi, there's enough fault that's already out there that they should have been nailed to the wall. But nobody is being nailed to the wall, being held accountable for nothing. It's like, oh, we can break the law. We don't, law? What law? You know, like the Border Patrolman the other day. Did you catch that video where he said, it really doesn't matter, the truck driver, did you see that one?
There's
a truck driver going through the border, and the guy says, are you an American citizen? And he says, yeah. And he says to the border patrolman, he says, yeah, I'm an American citizen, but does it really matter? And the border patrolman turned around and looked at him and said, not really, and walked off, you know?
Mm.
I mean, that's where we're at with things.
Go ahead.
Okay, what I was going to say is this. Look, we're fixing, after this election, we're fixing to get, I believe that we will get, the Senate also. Okay, having said that, Obama's going to be a real lame duck if he isn't already. My thought is this. How many people, seeing Obama has lost any kind of political power, so to speak, do you think that there will be people trying to make money off, even his half brother is writing a book about him, Do you think that there may be some people that'll come forward? And I mean, you know, I think there will. I think there's going to be some truth come out just because they see them no longer in power. And so people have a tendency to talk in those last 2 years.
Well, you know, that would be nice. And maybe that's why a lot of people are waiting is to see what happens after the election. But to your point on accountability, look, I've said this before, but with a different kind of spin. You mentioned the VA scandal. There was a story that came out a day or two ago that revealed even more lies. I mean, not just that the scandal, but that people that have been brought up in front of Congress are just lying. And Congress has no self-respect to hold them accountable. And the one remedy that they have, they are refusing to use, except when I say they, Boehner. Boehner is the guy. You know, we have two people that have been held in contempt of Congress that are still walking the streets. One of them is the Attorney General, and one of them is Lois Lerner. There is a law on the books in the Constitution that permits the Speaker of the House to order the Sergeant at Arms to arrest anyone who has been found in contempt of Congress and put them in jail. Now, the committees have done their job. Daryl Issa's committee, the Oversight Committee, they voted to find Holder in contempt. It was sent to the House. The House, the entire House voted that he was held in contempt, and he was. And, you know, if you want to get serious, all it's going to take is one or two examples and to be made of examples of. Had Boehner ordered the arrest of Eric Holder at that time, yeah, that would have been explosive. And
right.
Let's just say he didn't do that. Let's just say that wouldn't have been the way to go. And I think it should have been. I mean, it should have been done because Eric Holder's subordinate was responsible for prosecuting him. It doesn't make any sense. So Boehner could have done that with Lerner, who was also found in contempt of Congress. And he could also order people to start holding contempt votes for these people that come up in front of the Congress and they lie their faces off under oath. It's just going to take one or two people.
Right, but Boehner ain't got
it.
I got to cut this off. We got less than a half a minute. Boehner hasn't got the guts to do it. We need to get rid of Boehner or nothing much is going to change, I don't believe. You know, we got to get rid of that guy unless he grows some cojones. Excuse the language, folks. But
well,
anyway.
You know, if you drag him out of there, he's going to be crying while you're doing it.
Yeah, boo-hoo. Anyway, give us a website and we got to get out of here.
Shoebot.com, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com, or I contribute there, and WBDaily.com.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, Ben. Enjoyed the conversation. All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Please pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We're still in the summer slowdown of donations. We really do need your help. Consider it. Anyway, remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.